Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Good morning. Welcome to Grace Heritage Church. I'm glad to see you and really thankful for the opportunity to be together on the Lord's Day. Kathy and I have been out of town this week visiting with children, and so we're grateful to be back home, but that means that we've been kind of out of pocket, but in God's providence, this works out really perfectly because Kevin and Eugenia Millard and their son Stephen are here. Their daughter Deborah is still in Brazil in school and working and doing life the rest of life. But Kevin and Eugenia and Stephen are here. They're seated over here to my right. And many of you have never had the opportunity to meet them. And they serve with Fiel Ministries in Brazil and are ministering to the Portuguese-speaking world, the gospel in faithful literature and preaching and church planting and things like that. And so they're here today. We've been supporting them over the years, and I've been able to go to Brazil several times to help participate in some of their endeavors. And so they're a faithful family that we support, and they're able to be with us today. And Kevin will tell you about things that are going on in Brazil and the ministry that Fiel has there and in other Portuguese-speaking countries. We'll do that during our Bible study time this morning. And then Garrett's going to preach for us this morning as we continue to work through thinking together about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So a great day for us to be able to be together. And then we'll finish the morning together after Bible study with lunch. And so hope that you're prepared to stay for a fellowship lunch this afternoon. Also, it's a real joy this morning to be able to welcome new members. And so we'll be doing that in just a moment. But let me remind you of just a couple of other things for our church family. We'll be meeting together for a members meeting next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. So we'll take our regular worship time in the evening on Sunday next week for a members meeting. And if you're a member of our fellowship, you need to be here as we'll be telling you some things, recommendations from the facilities team. They've been meeting together thinking about what we need to do in terms of our facilities, and they have some recommendations to make to you So I hope that you'll be here, or I will expect you to be here for a part of that, to be a part of that, okay? And if you'll give me just indulge me for 1 second, I want to look back to my notes and make sure that I'm not forgetting to remind you about anything today. Okay, so John and Jennifer and Stephanie and Scott and Emily, would you guys come forward now and let me... calls us to do church together in some particular ways, and he calls us to that through the scriptures. And so as best as we can understand those things, we have put those together in some membership vows. And so I'll read these to you guys and ask you to respond to them verbally. And by the way, this is Scott and Emily Dudley on my far left, and Stephanie Camphouse, and then this is John and Jennifer Corbett. And it's our joy to recommend them to you as members. Now, if you guys will respond to these, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God, justly deserving His displeasure, and without hope accepting His sovereign mercy? Do you?
We do.
And do you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners? And do you receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered in the gospel? Do you?
Amen.
And will you endeavor in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit to live according to your identity as a follower of Christ? Will you?
I will.
And do you engage to walk together with God's people in Christian love through the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you?
I do.
And will you endeavor to support the church in its worship, work, and witness? Will you?
I will.
And do you submit yourselves to the government and discipline of the church? And will you endeavor to maintain its purity and peace? Do you?
I will.
And for those who are members here at Grace Heritage Church, do you, as a congregation, receive these brothers and sisters into our fellowship? And will you engage to serve, encourage, watch over, and pray for them as fellow members of the body of Christ? Do you?
We do.
And so it's a great joy for us to receive these folks into our fellowship. And we will endeavor to follow after what God's called us to by the power and help of the Holy Spirit. All right? And so would you join me as we pray together? We will praise the Lord together for His goodness, and we will pray for these folks as they come to be a part of our fellowship, okay? Join me as I lead you, would you? Father, it's with great joy that we come today. We thank you for the gift of the Lord's Day to your people. We thank you for giving us the 6 days to work and to serve and play and fellowship and do all the other things that you've given us to do. But today you've called us together as your people to gather around your word and to hear it preached, to sing your word, to pray your word, to give to you, to fellowship together, enjoy even today, particularly a meal together. And so for all these good gifts that you've given to us, we thank you and give you praise. And in particular today, we thank you for these brothers and sisters. We thank you for the work that you have been doing in their lives. We thank you for their testimony of faith in Christ. And we pray that you will both give them an opportunity to be nurtured and encouraged here, and also to serve and to labor alongside us, and that you would be pleased to carry the gospel to our community in the way that we love and serve one another, and the way that we speak of Christ in the places to which you've called us throughout the week. This is our desire and longing to faithfully follow after you as you've called us to do. And so we pray for your help and your mercy, and we ask even now, O God, that you will send your Holy Spirit. For all the things that you've called us to are impossible apart from you at work enabling and strengthening us by your Holy Spirit. So we thank you for that promise that you have made to us. We thank you that the Helper has come And we praise you and thank you for your ministry in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. And pray that today you would exalt and honor yourself through the worship of your people. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, I'll just remind you, if you'll sign those and give them back to me today, that would be awesome. Okay? Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to ask for you to do one more thing. Friends, let me ask you, if you would, please, to stand together with me. And find on page 2 this psalm from Psalm 145 that calls us together to worship the Lord. And even as you're standing, I'm going to ask you if you would just move into the middle of the building, okay? Just slide this way as much as possible, and that'll create some space for folks who are still coming in the back. They can come around on the sides, okay? So as you stand, just slide toward the center aisle, if you will, please. And there are still really good seats to my right here. Now let's hear the Lord call us together to worship Him. Join me, would you please? I will extol you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Amen. Would you remain standing as we sing together? Would you join me, please, as we pray together? Father, what a sweet reminder it is to us that the Lord Jesus Christ has by his own wounds paid the ransom. That he has by his perfect life and his death in our place redeemed us and made possible the forgiveness of our sin. And so, as those who understand the gospel and those who understand our own sin and our need for a Savior, we come to you today, not as those who try to manage their sin or explain it away or pretend that it is not deeply serious, but as those who understand our desperate need, we come to you with great joy today to confess our sin, because Jesus Christ is the one who forgives sins. And we come today, even this morning, as we have gone through membership vows together and thought about the things to which you've called us as followers of Jesus, we understand that we do not do these things, that we have our own sin that we are still wrestling with, that we are not as caring for one another as we ought to be, that we often are failing in our endeavors to obey you, that we are still tainted, that sin clings to us, and yet we are also those who are forgiven and cleansed. And so, rather than pretending that this is not still an ongoing fight, we come to you as those who have been declared righteous and yet still struggle with our sin, and we look to Jesus, our only hope. The one hope for sinners, the one Redeemer, the one who alone forgives, the one alone who is righteous. And we ask today that you would forgive us of our sin. In particular today, O God, we pray that you will forgive us for our failure to look to you, the God who has sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to enable us and strengthen us in our battle against sin and also in our endeavor to stand firm against it, to understand and believe and apply your word to our lives, to the particular issues and areas that still need to be surrendered to you, or the places in our lives that need to be transformed by the power of your word, to the places where the light of your word needs to shine and bring healing, to the places in our lives that we would cling to stubbornly and hold on to our idols that need to be put to death, that would be exposed by your word. We pray that you will forgive us for our resistance to the searching, transforming power of your word by your Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray that you would rescue us from that tendency. And even today, as we think together about the Holy Spirit who has given us the Scriptures and illumines our hearts to understand it, may we submit to your work in our lives with expectation and hope that we can be renewed and transformed by your word, the ministry of your word in our lives. Do that today, we pray, and rescue us by the strength and power of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, to the praise and glory of your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please believe the Word of God when it tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you stand together and sing of this gracious provision for us through Christ?
Thank you. Morning. We continue to read through God's Word as a part of our worship experience. And generally we read the Word and then we pray. But as we read the Word this morning, I'm going to ask you, and you'll see as we read Psalm 119, verses 33 through 48. This is a prayer from the psalmist, so I would ask you to not only read it with me, but read it with a prayerful attitude, because it is a request from God for all of his children, for we believers. There's so much, God's word is so rich in every aspect, and this morning is no different. Just to mention, Psalms 119 is, as you know, it's a pretty long psalm, 176 verses, and it actually is an acrostic in Hebrew, and that I think that just simply means that each set of verses, eight at a time, are for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, I don't know the Hebrew alphabet at all, but and maybe your Bible has the eight verses separated with a label. And today, the first eight that we're going to look at, and I ask our seminary student Garrett to help me with this pronunciation. And Garrett says in Hebrew, pronunciation is very, very important. So any of you who know Hebrew, I'll just ask you to forgive me to start with, because I have been introduced to a couple of languages, but Hebrew is not one of them. Anyway, the two that we're going to look at is verse 33 is the beginning for the letter Hey, like hey. And that's the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And then we'll move on into 41, which is the letter Vav. And your Bible may have W-A-W, but Garrett assures me you pronounce it Vav. So we'll look at those two passages. If you want to use one of the Bibles under the rack in front of you, it's on page 513, if you'd like to use one of those. And as we always say, if you don't have this particular copy of God's Word, it's ESV, English Standard Version. And if you don't have a copy of it, please feel free to take the one in the chair rack, take it home, use it. It's the particular version most of us, when we're up here, Pastor Paul and Garrett and those of us who read Scripture, it's a particular version that you'll hear. Now, some of us study a different version, but that's okay. This is the one you'll probably hear. So let's begin in verse 33, Psalms 119, beginning of verse 33. And as I said, let's look at this as a prayer to the Lord. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and to not selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we couldn't possibly even grasp the concept of the Word without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And certainly we wouldn't have the Holy Spirit without Christ as our sacrifice. So we praise God for Psalm 119 and for the encouragement that we receive there. If you'll turn in your bulletin to page 11. Oh, wow, I said 12. We've only had it on page 11 for 15 years. Page 11 has a list of our prayer concerns. And often, Kevin and Eugenia, we have your name at the top. So this morning, yours isn't there, so we certainly want to pray for y'all. But often you're there. We have the opportunity this morning to literally speak with you personally, and that's great. So I will offer our prayers if you will pray along with me in your heart, and I'll offer up our prayers to the Lord. Father God, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the whole counsel of your word, and in particularly this morning, we thank you for Psalm 119, what rich, rich instruction it is to us. And Father, in my own life, I really focus on that one line about worthless things. Father, I spend so much of my time doing things that I know are really have no great value. And I confess that and ask that you would help me and the rest of us focus our energies on things that have eternal value. And Father, we have plenty of instruction in your word to determine what that is. We thank you that that we have here in our country free access to your word. We have it in many, many different translations. We have electronics that have all kinds of versions. And Father, our issue that we confess to you, our sin is not access to your word. Our sin is not taking advantage of the access that we have. So I pray that you this morning will convict us by your Holy Spirit, that we would focus more and more on your word, be committed to spending time in your word. We thank you for the leadership that we receive concerning your word from our pulpit, from both our pastor and also from Garrett. We do pray this morning that you would fill Garrett with your Holy Spirit, that we might see the overflow as he preaches your word to us. Father, we have a number of individuals and groups that are committed to sharing your gospel in other places, and as I've already mentioned, we thank you for Kevin and Eugenia and for their ministry with Fiel. Father, what a great way to share your gospel with the indigenous pastors and teachers there in Brazil, and we thank you and we praise you for that message that you provide there. Father, we do thank you for our people who minister locally, and this morning we particularly want to pray for Taylor and Abigail as they minister to internationals on our campus through the Navigators. We thank you for that organization, for the literally hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of people who have been taught the gospel, and we through Navigators, and we thank you for Navigators' leadership and for the commitment that the organization has made, and then we thank you for Taylor and Abigail as they are feet on the ground here at Auburn University. We pray that you would lead them by your Holy Spirit and use them effectively in the lives of believers and unbelievers, and we thank you for their commitment. Father, we do pray for churches in our area every Sunday morning. This morning we want to pray for First Baptist Opelika and for their pastor, Jeff Myers. Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus is even now being lifted up there in their Sunday school teaching. And we pray in a little while as they move into their worship that you will be honored and glorified, that Christ will be proclaimed in his beauty and in his complete ability to save his people from their sins. And we thank you and we praise you for that. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that many missionaries have through the International Mission Board. We pray for their for the president of that, Dr. Paul Chitwood. We know there are many challenges associated with that now, and we pray for wisdom in how the International Mission Board allocates their funding and also their people. We just ask that you would direct that work by your Holy Spirit so that men and women, boys and girls around the world would come to know of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Lord, we do pray for our civic leaders. This morning we want to lift up our president, Donald Trump. Father, we ask you to provide leadership around him, provide godly counsel for him. And Father, we pray that you will use our president to lead our country to becoming more amenable to your gospel being spread. And we thank you for accomplishments in that area. Father, we do particularly pray this morning for people in Central Asia, part of Russia, the Tatars, and we just ask again for that particular group. We pray for those people who are there sharing Christ. We particularly pray for there's some men there who are coaching, and we pray that they would have a tremendous influence on the young men and women that they have the opportunity to speak to. Father, we do ask in our service this morning that you would continue to be glorified with our worship. Father, we pray that we would listen to you with spiritual ears, that we'd be convicted of our sins and be recommitted to following Christ this week in our workplace, in school, at home, where we find ourselves. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That the light of Christ might be seen today. To open God's Word with you this morning. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 16. If you're using one of the Bibles in the seat racks in front of you, that's going to be on page 902. So we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 15. Follow along with me as I read from the Word of God. John 16, starting in verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. For He will glorify Me. For He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. This is the Word of God. Let's pray together and give our attention to the message from Scripture. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have spoken clearly, definitively, authoritatively, by Your Spirit's power. We pray, God, that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray that You would help me to communicate this clearly and with a demonstration of Your power and not of human wisdom. Lord, we pray that our attitudes, our thoughts would be glorifying to You as we come under the words of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the main idea that I want to share with you this morning is that the Holy Spirit has breathed out Holy Scripture as the revelation of the mind of Christ for the good of the church. So hopefully you have that there. If you have some notes that I gave you in your bulletins, the Holy Spirit has breathed out Holy Scripture as the revelation of the mind of Christ for the good of the church, and the Spirit has guided the authoring of Scripture, and the Spirit continues to guide our reading of Scripture. So that's the main idea today. So if you don't get anything, hopefully you can track with that as I kind of lead you through the text here. Maybe you remember that a famous preacher named Charles Spurgeon has said this. He says, "There is dust enough on some of your Bibles to write the word damnation with your fingers." Let that sink in for just a moment. There's dust enough on some of your Bibles to write the word damnation with your fingers. pretty strong. Is that you? That's an important kind of question to ask when you read such a striking statement like that. And Spurgeon was known for quite a few of those turns of phrase. And so why do you think it is that Christians are uneasy with our Bibles? I think I see that in my own life, where we tend to be undisciplined and uneasy with our Bibles. And I think it's because sometimes we don't appreciate what exactly we hold in our hands when we're reading God's Word. I don't think we often remember exactly what's happening when we encounter the Word of God in the pages of Scripture. Maybe there's some of you in this room who have no trouble with this. Maybe there's somebody here that has no lack of desire for Scripture. But I'm the one preaching, and I can tell you that I struggle with this. I wake up, and there's so many other amazing books to read. There's so much other really urgent and pressing things on my to-do list every day that sometimes I can tend to neglect God's Word. And so I'm assuming that that's you too. I'm confident that that's you too. So hopefully this morning I can help to reinvigorate your commitment to Scripture and your commitment to dedicating your life to becoming a person of this book. You need to become a person of this book. So I want you to see that the Scriptures come from God, and we receive them with the help of God. So, again, the Holy Spirit has breathed out Holy Scripture as a revelation of the mind of Christ for the good of the church. That's you, if you are in Christ. And the Spirit, just as He guided the authoring of the pages of Scripture, He continues to guide our reading of Scripture. So, to neglect this book is to the detriment of your soul. It will rot your soul if you neglect this book. So I'm not simply recommending that you just kind of give it a shot, that you give it a try. I'm saying that if you neglect the message of this book, you will be like Spurgeon, his person who can write the word damnation with your fingers. This is detrimental to you. The spiritual health of your heart is to neglect this word. So hopefully we can see that from our passage in John chapter 16. So the first thing I want you to see in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, is that the Holy Spirit grounds the authority of Scripture. So what that means is, it's the objective revelation of Christ. The Bible is the objective revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church, and the Spirit is the one who has given us this revelation of Christ. So, another way of saying that is the Holy Spirit is the revealer of what Scripture is. So, what I'm saying here, the Spirit has revealed, past tense, what God regards as necessary for life and godliness, like it talks about in 2 Peter 1. This is the objective revelation of God to us in writing. I want to make that crystal clear. This is the Word of God. We don't just say that casually when we read the Bible. We say, every time I'm up here, I say, this is the Word of God. I want you to get that crystal clear in your head. So let's look at verse 12 right away. Verse 12, when Jesus says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. If you're like me, you're probably scratching your head and you're thinking, what exactly is it that Jesus wanted to say but felt that somehow He shouldn't say quite yet? Why is it that the disciples couldn't bear it? And so I want to make the case that He's referring to the full implications of the kingdom of God, the full implications of His life and death, the full implications of His resurrection from the dead, and the gospel community that He's drawing together. So the full implications of the gospel message. That's what Jesus wanted to just dump on them, but felt that it would be more prudent to withhold that for a time. So they see in a mirror dimly, and He says, when the Spirit comes, you're going to see fully. They see just a glimpse. He kind of pulls the curtain back just a hair, and in the fullness of time, God is going to send the Holy Spirit to help them understand exactly what's going on. So what I want to say is that Jesus, his words here have been fulfilled when he says, you cannot bear them now. So those words were fulfilled in the life and ministry of the apostles. It's in Acts 2 at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out. And it's in the succeeding weeks and years after that in the lives of the apostles that the Holy Spirit gave them power, gave them authority, gave them wisdom from the Spirit to do all that Jesus said and did and told them to do. All of that has happened in the lives of the apostles and in the inspired writings of the apostles. So when Jesus says, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now, I'm saying all of that has been uncovered in the pages of the New Testament, in the book of Acts, what we read in the account there, and in the penning of Scripture, in the completed canon of the Bible. The completed canon of the Bible is the full revelation of what God intends for His church. So, let's look back to verse 13 with that in mind. Verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. So, how is it that the Spirit leads His people into all the truth? And the answer is, it's in the inspiration of the writing of Scripture. And this is confirmed in numerous places, but first let me chime in with Calvin. Calvin says that the Spirit led them into all the truth when they committed to writing the substance of their doctrine. That is how the Spirit preserves, imparts, guides into the truth the whole church, when they put into writing the doctrine. So in other words, the completed canon of Holy Scripture is the truth of God, intended and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So the Spirit is the author and the giver of Scripture. So we see this confirmed in texts like 2 Timothy 3:16. Why don't you go ahead and turn there? 2 Timothy 3:16. I know this is a familiar text to many of you. 2 Timothy. It's right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Apostle Paul writes, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So don't miss that first section. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And it's no surprise to find that the breath of God is the Spirit of God. It's this breathing of God into the pages of Holy Scripture. That is the agency of the Holy Spirit that is bringing about the pages of Holy Scripture. So it's the Spirit who's carrying along the human authors to put all that God intended into writing for us. It has no fault or defect. It is the perfect Word of God. And we see this confirmed again in 2 Peter chapter 1. Why don't you turn over there? 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to put your eyes on this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. The Apostle Peter writes, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention, as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation. Catch this last verse here. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, in the reception and delivery and penning of Scripture, it's men writing as the Holy Spirit carries them along. The Holy Spirit holds them, guides them, so that the very things that they're writing is exactly, precisely, and without error, what God intended for the church to have. So, We can get really sidetracked in trying to psychoanalyze the human authors of Scripture, trying to dig into all of this really fascinating historical information, but I don't want you to miss the single divine author of all 66 books of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit is the single divine author. And as helpful as some of those other conversations are, do not miss the spirituality of the Bible. This is one of the fundamental parts of our faith. So if you look back in John 16, turn back there to John 16. On down in verse 15, Jesus says, "All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So what Jesus is saying here is the message that the Father has and the message that the Son has are the same message. And the Spirit is their agent in communicating that message to us through the apostles in Holy Scripture. So all of the Trinity is in unison in the giving of the Scriptures to us. So this is a really, really incredible gift that we have. He's the divine messenger of the eternal truth of God. He possesses the full divine nature, so all that he does is perfect. All that he does is without error. He's able to communicate everything that he intends perfectly. He doesn't leave anything to chance. He carries out exactly what he intends in the inspiration of Scripture. So, and it's in this way that the Spirit glorifies the Son. So look back at verse 14. Jesus says that he, talking about the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. So it's through communicating faithfully, perfectly, clearly, the message of Christ that the Spirit glorifies the Son. So, again, this is one of the foundational pillars of our faith. And I just want to say to you, this is one of the most important pillars of the faith. The church has been confessing this since its earliest days, that the Scripture is our ultimate authority for faith and practice. So if this book is just the casual opinion of a bunch of dead Jewish men, then who cares? Seriously, nobody cares if this is just the casual opinion of a bunch of old dead people. But if this book is the revelation of God, then nothing is more important than the message that it says. Not a single thing is more important than the message of Scripture. It's worth giving your life to understand, to study. What that means is, because this comes by the inspiration of the Spirit, this book comes to us with the same authority and power and surety as if the Lord Jesus Christ were standing right here in our midst and speaking to us face to face. This is God's word for the church. So, that's an amazing thing. So this means that if you hold a low view of Scripture, then you dishonor the Holy Spirit. And you dishonor Christ. And the way that you know that you have a low view of Scripture is not just to ask yourself what you believe about the Bible, but it's also by an honest self-examination of how faithfully you read and study and obey it. So some of you, if I were to say, do you have a low view of Scripture, you would immediately get your theological gears turning and try to formulate what you believe about the Bible. But I'm saying to you, a low view of Scripture is demonstrated in a life of neglect of the Bible, when you don't read it, when you don't study it, when you don't obey it. So test yourself, examine yourself. Looking around this room, I don't think anybody wants to have a low view of Scripture. I don't think anybody wants to insult the Holy Spirit, to dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to examine yourself. In the Bible, the mind of Christ is open to us, revealed to us. He put everything here in a form that we could grasp. It's translated in a way that's as faithfully as possible, communicating exactly what the Lord intended. This is the mercy of God to you. the mercy of God to you. Why would you neglect the grace of God that comes to you through Scripture? Scripture is a means of grace. So, I'm sure that you see that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I think you get that. It deserves to be held up as our final authority for faith and practice. So I want us to spend the rest of our time talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us to really get it. Because it's one thing to acknowledge this is God's Word, and it's another thing to read. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But how do you really get it? How do you really apply it? How do you understand it? How do you interpret it? That's the tricky part. It's not getting it in, it's getting it down. That's the hard part. And so I want to show you the second point here, that the Holy Spirit ensures the sufficiency of Scripture, in that Scripture guides us in all that God desires. So the Spirit helps us understand the Bible so that we are enabled and empowered to do what God calls us to do. Scripture is sufficient to do that in your life. So another way of saying this, we said that the Holy Spirit reveals what Scripture is, and now I'm saying the Holy Spirit reveals what Scripture means to you. This is the subjective confirmation of what Scripture is. So we're not just handed a book and said, best of luck, hope you can figure it out, see you in heaven. That's not how we receive Scripture. We have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living in us, helping us, illuminating our minds, helping us to understand and apply what Scripture says. So again, this we have the objective revelation in the writing of Scripture, and we also have the subjective confirmation as we read and process it and understand it and apply it. So look again in John chapter 16. Let's start at verse 13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. At the end of that it says, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. There's a personal appropriation of the message of Scripture. The Spirit will not just provide it to you, but He will lead you down into it. And He will not let you miss it if you are Christ's. The Spirit will guide you into all the truth, and He will declare it to you. He will speak that truth into your heart through Scripture. So, He declares this to us with authority, all that belongs to Jesus. So this means that the Spirit is going to reveal, is revealing, has revealed what Christ intends for us to know, and will help us come into a solid understanding of it. On your notes, I want you to see that this is exactly what our Confession of Faith says in chapter 1, paragraph 5. So we have the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. That's what our church has determined is a faithful account of biblical doctrine. And in chapter 1, paragraph 5, the confession says, our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth of Scripture and divine authority thereof is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness by and with the Word in our hearts. So, there's an inward work of the Holy Spirit that testifies, along with Scripture in our hearts, that this is the Word of God. And in the confession, it cites our passage, John 16, verses 13 and 14, in support of this concept. So, this is what the church has been confessing and believing for centuries. So as we consider the work of the Holy Spirit bearing witness in our hearts about the truth of the Bible, I want us to see four intersections of the Word and Spirit. Four intersections of the Word and Spirit. So the first is, you have not understood what the words of Scripture mean unless your mind has been illuminated by the Holy Spirit. So you have not understood what the words of Scripture mean unless your mind has been illuminated by the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. You can turn there if you like, but I'll read it for you. Paul writes, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may give you wisdom and of revelation, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. So the Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, that they would have the eyes of their hearts enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is saying is, if you want to have any kind of spiritual perception, it has to be granted to you by the Holy Spirit. You cannot generate it by effort. You cannot generate it by study. You cannot generate it by just a natural intellect. There's no degree that you can get that imparts spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. This, you have to have the light switch turned on, and the only person who can reach the switch is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to enlighten your heart. That means that we're dependent on the Holy Spirit if we're to understand any spiritual truth. Any spiritual truth, you're dependent on the Holy Spirit. So, the second thing, the second intersection of the Spirit and the Word, is you have not understood what the words of Scripture mean unless you can see the overall purpose of the Bible. You have to have an understanding of what's going on. You cannot proof text. You cannot isolate one phrase and assume that you understand it in the way that you ought. So there's a purpose, there's an intention in the giving of Scripture from start to finish that you need to understand if you're to have spiritual light. So let's look again at 2 Timothy 3. Why don't you turn there again? Because I want to read a little bit more than what we read last time. 2 Timothy 3. Let's start back in verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings," read Scripture, so listen for what they're for, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So Paul is referring to the sacred writings, almost certainly referring to what we have as the Old Testament. And he says that God's purpose in revealing himself in Scripture is that we might be able to become wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So this verse, along with with verse 16, there's a lot of rich meaning there, and we can't unpack it all. But let me highlight kind of two things here. The first purpose of Scripture that you have to understand is it's given so that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Spirit gave it, is that we might know Christ. And that is why the Spirit helps us to understand it, is so that we might know Christ and be saved. So it tells us what we must believe. The second purpose I want you to see from here, and this comes from verse 16, that last clause there, is that it's profitable for everything concerning righteous living. So Scripture is exactly right for how you ought to live, for every good work. So it tells you what we must believe, and it tells you how you must live. Belief and practice. So it's the Holy Spirit who authored these sacred writings for these purposes. It's the final authority of faith and practice, and this is the will of God. Number three, this third intersection of the Word and Spirit. You have not understood what the words of Scripture mean unless you interpret Scripture consistently with the rest of Scripture. So it's pretty commonplace around here to say that the best interpreter of Scripture is the rest of Scripture, or the best exegesis of Scripture is other parts of Scripture. Or if you come into contact with something that's really kind of complicated in the Bible, look for some other connected passages that can help shed light on the maybe thing that's kind of got you scratching your head. And the reason we say that you must let Scripture interpret Scripture, is because the Holy Spirit is the singular divine author of it all. So he helps us know what he's saying through the other things that he has said. He confirms what he says by the other things that he says. So it's when you separate the Spirit from the Word that you get into all kinds of misunderstandings. You wander off into all kinds of false teachings about the doctrine of Scripture and about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit when you separate the Spirit from the Word. There are people who pride themselves in being Bible people, and they can tend to wander off into vain discussions. And there are people who pride themselves in being Spirit people, and they can wander off into unbiblical practices. And keeping these things together, Spirit and Word, we can understand what God intends for us and live rightly before Him. So the Spirit is guarding and ensuring that the doctrine of the church, the doctrine that the church confesses, is consistent with the gospel of Christ. So the Spirit guards us and keeps us by helping us see the connectedness of Scripture and interpreting Scripture consistently with the rest of Scripture. So the last intersection I want you to see is that you have not understood what the words of Scripture mean unless you've been helped by the Spirit to apply it. Let that sink in for a minute. That means you can have an academic grasp of the words of Scripture. Maybe you can translate from Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. But you do not understand it until it has gripped your heart and has changed your life. You have not understood. I'm saying you have not understood it. I'm not saying you haven't like mastered it. I'm saying you have not really even understood it until you've applied it by the Spirit's help. So I want you to see that in John chapter 16 again. Turn back to verse 12 of John chapter 16. When Jesus says to His disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Think about that for a moment. You cannot bear them now. There's an implied, you will eventually be able to bear them. He's saying, I've got a lot to say that's important and significant, but the way that you're going to receive those is as you're able to respond appropriately. And right now, you're not able to respond appropriately, but when the Spirit comes and fills your heart, you'll be able to hear this message and respond appropriately. So this is a confirmation that there's going to be progress in the Christian life of how you're able to understand what the Bible says and live accordingly. So he's saying they will make progress in the faith. So he's saying, in other words, don't lose heart if you don't understand everything right this very moment. Don't lose heart. Jesus is saying that His mission is more complex than the disciples realized, and that they would come to understand it in time. He's saying to them that your present feeling of weakness will not last forever. So when they receive the Spirit, they're going to become new men. They're going to have a renewed capacity to receive all that God intends for them. And they're going to have a renewed capacity to obey all that God intends for them to what He intends for them to do. It's in this way that the Spirit helps them to bear the message. That, again, that's not just getting it in. That's getting it down into the heart and out through the hands and feet. So He helps us to live according to what we've come to know. So, as we wrap it up, the big so what question, who cares? I want you to see that if God the Holy Spirit has authored this book, if He's authored this book and sees to it that we get it, then the text of Scripture and the guidance of the Holy Spirit must set the agenda for the church and for what dominates your attention. That's what I mean when we talk about the sufficiency of Scripture, is that the Bible is sufficient to set the agenda for the church, and the Bible is sufficient to set the agenda for your life. So, are your commitments and convictions rooted in the text of Scripture, or are they arbitrary? Or are your commitments and convictions determined by the agenda set by the culture, or by your family, or by the media? What is it that determines what you think and do? It must be the Bible. So if we say that we believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, then we are not those kind of people that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We're not those tossed to and fro by every wind of culture. or university trends or social media hashtags. So in order not to be blown around by this typhoon of information and cultural pressure, you must examine yourself in light of the Scriptures. You must look at yourself and say, are you a person of this book? Do you really believe this message? Do you know what it says? Do you read it? Do you look to the pages of Holy Scripture to find life, to find wisdom, to find encouragement, to find holiness? Are you a person of this book? So, I hope to kind of land the plane here by just talking about how our doctrine of the Spirit and our doctrine of Scripture point us to Christ. And I just want to say that our passage answers that in verse 14 when he says that the Spirit will glorify me. So, he says that the Holy Spirit comes to glorify the Son. That's the mission of the Holy Spirit, to glorify the Son. And one of the chief ways that the Spirit glorifies the Son is through the giving of Holy Scripture. So maybe we can conclude just by saying that all Scripture points to Christ. All Scripture points to the Gospel. And the Holy Spirit brings glory to Christ by helping us see and believe the Gospel. And all of what the Scripture says about Jesus. That's how the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. By lifting Him up in Scripture and by drawing our hearts to Him in our experience. So if you want to know Christ, that will only happen as you find Him in the pages of the Bible. And we're enabled to perceive this truth by the Spirit's guidance. So if you want to be a Jesus person, you must be a Bible person. And I worry that we may say that we're Bible people. I would say here at Grace Chapel... Not Grace Chapel, excuse me. Here at Grace Heritage, we are Bible people. But I hope that you don't view yourself as a Bible person just because you've been a Bible person in the past. So let me put that another way. Are you drawing living water from the well of Scripture every day? You cannot be a Bible person today if you're trusting in what you've done in the past. You must not be caught coasting on the fumes of spiritual illumination from weeks or months or even years ago. There may have been a time in your life when you really felt connected to God, and you cannot coast on the fumes of that feeling. You must have fresh water every day. You must not mistake the spiritual perception of others as your own. So just because maybe your friend or your mom or dad or grandparent is really attuned to God, that does not make you safe. That does not make you a Bible person. You need to drink this water yourself. And you must not confuse an expertise in the contours of theological controversy and debate with true spiritual understanding. That is not the same thing. So you need life-giving water, not stagnant water. So dust really can build on a Bible that used to be open. Even enough dust that you could write the word damnation with your fingers. But if you want a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need the Spirit to guide you to the Word and to guide you to the cross and to guide you to the cleansing that only Christ can give. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We pray that you would help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We pray that the Spirit would exalt the Son as we seek to live lives that are faithful to what He's revealed. And we pray that Christ would be honored in all that we say and do and all that we believe together here in the body at Grace Heritage. And we pray that Christ would be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We want to gather around the table of the Lord together in these next few moments. And one of the blessings and provisions this makes for us is that we might say, how can I know that these things are true? I need some help in believing this. Jesus said, if I go away, I will send another helper. I will send the comforter. And the supper reminds us that Jesus did in fact die and give himself so that we might have the Holy Spirit and so that the Spirit of God might indeed allow us to drink from the Word of God and to be refreshed and nurtured by God's Word. And even as this bread and this cup is a physical reminder of nurture for our bodies, it reminds us of the nurture of Christ. And so we look to Christ together now to provide for us, and we thank him, and we receive these things by faith. And so if you are a baptized believer in a right relationship with your church, we invite you to gather around the table with us and to receive the blessings of Christ that are ours through the supper. Men, would you come and help me, please? Scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Scriptures also tell us that Jesus took a cup and he said, this cup is my blood in the new covenant. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord Jesus, as we take this bread and this cup, and as we receive the nurture that it physically provides for our bodies, by faith we receive also the nurture of your provision for us. We remember that you tell us that you are the vine, that we are the branches, and that in our connection to you we find life. And we praise you and thank you that you have given to us your Holy Spirit and through him your word that we might know all of your thoughts for us that we need to live in life and godliness in this day. We praise you and thank you for these good and precious gifts in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we ask you that you would give us grace that we might be indeed people of the book. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me ask you, if you would please, to stand together with me and let's sing of God's provision for us through His Spirit. Spirit to
Christ and in glory I will see His face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank You, O my Father, for giving us Your Son, leaving Your Spirit to the work on earth is done.
Now hear this word of blessing before you go this morning. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may be with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you as you go in fellowship with one another. We'll gather at 11:15 and hear from Kevin and Engineia about the work of Fiel Ministries and what's going on in Brazil. And so until then, encourage one another in Christ. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Antelope Drive.